Welcome back, everybody, to Hard Fork Decentralized. Thanks for watching so far, and I hope you enjoyed the previous panels, the fireside chats. Right now, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to specifically talk about cryptocurrency and blockchain journalism. Now, myself, I'm a journalist for Hard Fork. Sitting with me is Mix, the editor of Hard Fork. And we're pretty much going to chew the fat about what the current status is of blockchain and cryptocurrency and the struggles with being featured in the media, basically. Now, I'm under the impression that we are specifically meant to be reporting on truth the whole time. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, that's how I always interpret things. And the reason why we often get in trouble as a media, and that oftentimes we get feedback that we focus on the negatives about the blockchain space. And I think that's, I would agree with that feedback. I think that's something we definitely do more often than not. But I think also there's the problem that we report on whatever is happening. So we need to, we don't make the truth, we just report on the truth. And for us, it's important to remain credible in that way. And sometimes the truth tends to be inconvenient. And I think that's exactly the times when we need to be bringing that up to the public and informing our readers of negative repercussions that might be happening in the blockchain space. Also, the other problem, and this is something that you and I specifically have been focusing a lot recently, it's been exposing scam projects and in general reporting on topics that might turn out to be misleading. Oh. So if you ask me, I think that includes breaking down not quite genuine marketing talk, marketing lingo, as I put it, buzzwords that just sound great, but in reality don't add up much to the technology, or at least don't coincide with the actual capacity of the technology, and in general, stuff like that.
I think one of the problems is that we have a technology powered by a philosophy of the people, that it's decentralized and handing things back to the people, which sounds great, but everyone is creating products. So in order to have that those products marketed, sometimes it feels like the truth is hidden a little bit. So when, say, I get sent press releases in order to publish information about a new project or a new coin, it's now becomes my job to determine how truthful that person is being, rather than figuring out the benefits and positives of the underlying technology that they're presenting me. I now have to go back and make sure that I am not being lied to in certain ways. Do you find that this is common?
Right, so I think there's been a very kind of interesting relationship between PR people and in general the people pushing those stories and narratives, sending those press releases, preparing them and so on, and journalism, because for the longest time, journalism has been running on press releases. Especially the past couple of years, companies tend to send out those, and that's how they make their announcements. That's how they bring the news. And then for us, it's basically how we what we provide to the people. That's why people come to read our websites. But and as someone who used to cover technology and not strictly Bitcoin, I used to be, prior to moving into cryptocurrency and blockchain, I used to cover security in apps. Just centralized apps and internet culture. And back there, I was used to just, there's already a body of companies that we know are legit, so it's easier to trust them. But with blockchain, where the technology is still growing and everyone depends basically on getting some interest about their project, it's getting, the blur between what's true in a press release and what marketing talk is, so basically they're just relaying, the companies tend to relay the information that they want people to know about them, and that's not always the case, that's not always the truth. So for us, it's crucial, I believe, if you're a journalist in blockchain, to double check even press releases. Information in press releases that's passed as already confirmed needs to be at least checked on by another person, or I mean, there needs to be some background checks. Another reason why I also like to do that is because oftentimes, and I don't know how else to put that, then I think there's a problem with nepotism in the blockchain space. And I'll give you an example. Oftentimes when I get a pitch from a certain company and you look into the people that are behind that company, you would find that there might be connections between those people and then companies that are announced in a certain partnership. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because it it suggests that there's certain interests vested into those companies, mm-hmm. and we need to be sure what information we're relaying to our audience, and then who we're getting that information from.
The context around that information. Precisely. And how that's being provided.
Precisely, and also who's giving that information to us and what their agenda might be.
See, it's interesting. I mean, obviously we've had a year-long bear market now. The amount of investors, the amount of readers and interest in general across the entire industry is down. I am starting to feel like a majority of the investors from 2016 and 17 have been burned by companies who, or even media outlets who haven't reported on the truth or haven't represented their products or the underlying technology correctly.
Our colleague Matthew Beedham, he wrote a piece where he basically talks about the main idea of the piece is that blockchain companies are not selling technology, they're selling visions of a technology. So mm-hmm. that's, and that ties in with the marketing talk I was mentioning before. So while what they're trying to do might be possible in a couple of years from now, or when the technology is mature enough, it's not the case that they can do those things right now. And I'll give you a very, very ridiculous example from a couple of weeks ago. I got a press release from a company that was claiming that they're gonna have 1 million users next year. Mm-hmm. Now, there's many apps with 1 million users, but when you think about blockchain, there's not that many companies that can say, hey, we have 1 million users. And if you go on DappRadar, which is basically a concept where it's a website that monitors how much decentralized apps are being used on the Ethereum network and also on EOS, you'd notice that the numbers are ridiculously low. There's not 1 million people That's using right. those apps. And then when I looked into that company that was claiming, that was planning to have 1 million users next year, they still didn't even have a product. And on the to-do list for that company, they were planning to implement a password/login mechanism, which is the bare minimum. They didn't even have the bare minimum, and they were already selling a narrative that they're gonna have 1 million users next year. Now, can I report on that and feel good about myself? I don't know. Maybe I can feel good about myself, but I wouldn't be doing my job as a journalist, because more than selling a positive narrative, I wanna present the truth. It's great if there's a positive narrative that I can present, but if there's none, or if it's been disguised, or if someone has disguised an average idea into something into a grandeur vision, then I need to speak my mind and I need to point that out, because that's a major inconsistency.
I think it's difficult in general at the moment in the current climate, for any cryptocurrency startup to be featured in the media in a legitimate way in the context that we're talking about. So when people say that an outlet like Hard Fork doesn't publish very much positive news, the most positive thing that I can think of right now is a startup founder or the spiritual leader of a blockchain being truthful about the limitations and the possible future of their cryptocurrency. To me, that's a positive story.
No, I absolutely love that narrative as well, because let's be honest, everyone knows that in the blockchain space, most of the products that are being worked on, they're proofs of concept at that point, and they haven't been proven yet, most of them. So it's normal that these companies are gonna go through certain struggles, and if they find solutions, then that's a great story.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's a lot more struggles remaining to be solved ahead of them. And I think it's important to be honest about that, because then it shows that you have an idea, you have a vision, and you also have a way of working towards that vision instead of simply hiding behind the inconvenient truth, like I mentioned before.
And it shows a complete understanding of your own capabilities.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, how many more Vitalik Buterins are there in the world that are capable of creating something that is special? So if you're going to market yourself at the same caliber as someone like him, then maybe it's a little bit more obvious that you're not being truthful.
Well, I feel very awkward about that, because I do feel that every entrepreneur needs to feel good about what they're working on, and they need to be confident about what they do. They need to be passionate about that. And oftentimes being passionate means that you end up, well, overselling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that works for business in the short term, but I don't think it works in the long term, because if you oversell yourself, in the end, people are going to see through that unless you deliver on what you promised. And I think journalists especially are very good at seeing through that. And while the I would argue that the media cycle currently is very short, well, oftentimes those cycles come back, yes, and then they reflect on everything that hasn't been, that has been promised but hasn't been delivered.
So it might be obvious from what we've already talked about, but what can a blockchain startup do in order to have a higher success rate in being in having nice things shared about them in the media, rather than nitpicking, destroying things?
So a couple of years, I think it was last year actually, I did a talk at a conference where I was giving some ideas from companies how they can pitch the media. I think I probably would revise some of my talk at that point, but I think one thing that always works is that when you pay attention to publications and what they write about, they oftentimes would focus on certain topics. Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes they're not always wrong. Like, we make mistakes. It's mm-hmm. been, and it sucks when it happens, but mistakes do happen. And oftentimes we have to go back and fix them. And it's embarrassing, but I think that embarrassment also makes us better. So I always suggest that when someone involved in the blockchain space notices, the best way to get into media's eyes is to point out their mistakes.
Yes.
But not in a way that's condescending, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about, fake journalists. Everyone seems to have an opinion on journalism. But instead of giving that opinion on journalism, they can show you why you're wrong, and they can use facts and logic instead of just throwing out feedback that I can't quite use to, first of all, improve my own coverage, and then also not direct, but give the right information to the people and improve the whole concept of cryptocurrency / blockchain coverage.
It would be nice to be able to work with teams in order to fully understand their concept, rather than fighting against them in order to publish their vision of their concept.
Yeah, so technically speaking, recently I spoke with a startup that is running on Ethereum, and their plan was to roll out a token reward system on an already established business with close to 100 million users. Now, for someone who's been in the space for a long time, I know that Ethereum can only handle 7 to 8 transactions per second. So rolling out that system to an app with already 90 plus million users is going to congest the entire Ethereum network, and we're going to have a similar kind of problem like we did with CryptoKitties back in December 2017.
Yes.
The network is going to crash. It's not going to crash, but there's going to be a huge bottleneck mm-hmm. that just takes longer for transactions to get confirmed. They're more expensive and all that. And I immediately had to ask them, hey, so how are you making sure that all of these reward system is going to be able to handle all of these users? And they spit it out to me. They immediately said, well, we're actually using, at that point, we're not strictly using the blockchain. We've had to compromise. So we're using a centralized server, and then that server sends those confirmed rewards to the blockchain so that users can receive their tokens.
I think this is a perfect example of what we've been talking about.
More or less.
Yeah, because as a writer, you need to figure out what is happening there.
Yeah.
And you were not presented the truth originally.
Well, I was presented a half-truth, let's just put it like that.
Okay.
And when they gave me the whole truth, it made me more comfortable going forward with that, because I can comfortably say, hey, that's a big thing. A company with 90 million users can make a big change, and we need that badly. Well, I don't need it, but if the token economy is to succeed, we need to prove that it works as a concept. And the reward system that was implemented is one of those concepts that I think can have a wide application in many use cases. So just by the fact that that company was willing to experiment with that, that's already a huge step. Obviously, we're not quite there. We can't do that in a perfectly decentralized way. But I think that at least keeping it straight with us makes us more comfortable with writing about that company.
Okay, that's great. Now, we're just going to pass it over to the audience. If you guys had any questions you guys like to ask in particular, if not, we're happy to round it up and move on to the next talk. No, that's okay. No problem.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Mix. That was great.
It was a pleasure, David.
No worries.